to sound like a Berkeley hippie right now, but I think that the importance is for us on the left or the liberals to try and come together, as well as those on the right and those on the conservative side have done, because that side has really coalesced in a powerful way, and we're seeing them taking over our government, we're seeing them taking over the United States and beyond. And the left and the liberals, we keep fighting with each other. There's so much infighting, there's so much pointing of fingers or wagging of fingers, or you're doing this wrong, and it's keeping us really divided, and it's very, very intentional. And so my work, my attempt in this world is, how can we come together? What do we need to do? And I really enjoyed that you mentioned, like, what is the poetry you're reading? What are you doing? I'm leading a lot of, I've been doing this for over a decade, but I lead a lot of community singing gatherings.
Listen, can you get in touch with us, please? We're smack against the clock, but I'd like to pick this program and do part two up with you and figure out a way to do it. So please get in touch with us. It's Dennis Bernstein at kpfa.org. You are listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio, and what an honor to broadcast to you over Free Speech Radio. Free Speech, the People's Radio Network, non-corporate, truth to power. Stay with us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
You're listening to KBOO's All Thrills, No Frills, Volume 4 special programming campaign. Check out all the great programs we're bringing you now through April 15th at kboo.fm/ATNF4.
Tune into KBOO every third Saturday at 10 p.m. for Queery. Dive into the spectrum of queer music as we explore artists across time and genre.
She's on my mind every hour of every day.
That's Queery every third Saturday at 10 p.m.
The things we could do, oh, it takes my breath away.
Here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
And I lose control.
Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope.
Hi there. Thanks for joining me. On this show, we are going beyond comfort as we step outside of our comfort zones and embrace growth. We've all been there, nestled comfortably in our routines, sipping the same coffee, walking the same paths, and binge-watching that favorite series for the umpteenth time? It's cozy, predictable, and safe. But have you ever wondered what lies beyond the snug bubble? What adventures, opportunities, and personal growth await when you dare to venture into the unknown? Stepping outside of your comfort zone isn't just a catchy phrase. It's a transformative journey that challenges your fears, bolsters your confidence, and shatters those pesky limiting beliefs. In this episode, we'll explore the exhilarating and sometimes nerve-wracking world beyond our comfort zones. From understanding the psychology behind our fears to uncovering the hidden costs of staying stagnant, we'll navigate this path together to discover how embracing discomfort can lead to unparalleled personal growth. Let's start at the beginning. What exactly is a comfort zone? Sounds cozy, right? Like fuzzy socks, predictable routines, and your favorite Netflix binge. But in psychological terms, your comfort zone is more than just what feels familiar. It's a behavioral space where your activities and decisions fit a routine and pattern that minimizes stress and risk. Inside it, you're cruising. Things feel manageable, safe, and under control. But spoiler alert, not much growth happens there. Now, stepping outside of that bubble, that's where things get interesting. Psychologists have mapped this out into zones, Beyond the comfort zone lies the learning zone, where you face new challenges, gain skills, and build resilience. Keep going, and you hit the growth zone. This is where purpose, confidence, and real transformation happen. It's that place where you say yes to things that scare you a little bit, but excite you a lot. The catch? It's also where the uncertainty lives, the fear, the doubt, the tiny inner voice that says, yeah, but what if I fail? And hey, that voice has a point. There is risk involved, but there's also risk in staying stuck. The longer we stay in our bubble, the more we reinforce limiting beliefs like, I'm not good at that, or that's just not who I am. These beliefs become like padded walls, keeping us safe, but also keeping us small. And here's the wild part. You might not even realize you're stuck. You might just feel low-grade frustration, boredom, or restlessness, like something's missing, but you can't quite name it. That's often your potential, knocking on the door, wondering when you're going to invite it in. So before we dig into the how, let's just pause and sit with the why. Why do we build such cozy comfort zones to begin with? Why do we hesitate to take the leap, even when we know there's something better on the other side? It's time to make this personal, to help you pinpoint where you stand in your own comfort zone. Now that we've unpacked what the comfort zone is and why it's so, well, comfortable, let's turn the focus inward. You don't need a notebook or a fancy worksheet, just a few quiet moments and an open mind. We're going to take a quick self-check to see how often you hang out in your comfort zone, and more importantly, why you stay there. I'll walk you through a few quick reflection questions. Be honest, there's no gold stars or wrong answers, just insight. Are you ready? Question one. What's one thing you've wanted to try but haven't? This could be anything: changing careers, traveling solo, joining a new group, launching a passion project, even saying what you really think in a meeting. Got it? Okay, now ask yourself, what's stopping you? Question two. What emotion do you feel when you imagine doing it? Fear? Excitement? A mix of both? That combination is gold. That's the sign you're standing right at the edge of your comfort zone. Number three, what story are you telling yourself about it? I'm not ready. I'm too old. I don't know enough. These aren't facts. They're beliefs, limiting ones. And they grow stronger the longer they go unchallenged. Number four, what's the cost of staying where you are? We often ask, what if I fail? But rarely ask, what do I miss out on if I don't even try? The opportunity cost of staying safe can be subtle: lost confidence, unrealized goals, even a low hum of dissatisfaction that follows you around. Let's reflect on this. What's the smallest step you could take today to challenge that comfort zone? Not a giant leap, just a nudge. Could you send an email? Sign up for something? Say yes instead of no? Speak up instead of staying quiet. Take a second to sit with that idea. Let the discomfort bubble up a little. It's not there to scare you off. It's there to wake you up. Growth always starts with a stretch. To gain a deeper understanding, let's explore Jessica A. Kent's question. Is it time to leave your comfort zone? How leaving can spark growth. She delves into the benefits of stepping out of your comfort zone, like expanding your awareness, building resilience, and gaining self-agency. You hear it all the time. Step out of your comfort zone. Life begins at the end of your comfort zone. Nothing grows in your comfort zone. But is that true? Can getting uncomfortable and enduring the stress that comes with it really help you grow as a person, move towards achieving your goals, and push you forward to the next stage of your life? Let's unpack what getting outside your comfort zone means and how it can be your new tool for achieving the life you desire. So you want to run a 5K. You see a 5K raising money for a good cause, and you've always wanted to run one, so you sign up. But you're not a runner. The most fitness you get is walking between classes. So you know being able to run that 5K is going to take a bit of work, and it will be a challenge. In other words, you'll need to step out of your comfort zone or your place of greatest security and get comfortable in order to achieve that particular goal. How do you know where the boundary is? And is the comfort zone even a real thing? The idea of comfort zones is rooted in research conducted by psychologists Robert M. Yerkes and John Dillingham Dodson in 1908. They developed the Yerkes-Dodson law, which states that performance increases as stress increases, and performance decreases as stress decreases. But at a certain point, high levels of stress inhibit performance. In the context of our 5K example, this means that while you may just want to walk on a treadmill to train, there's not much stress in doing so, and therefore no increase in performance. But when you apply stress by upping the speed on the treadmill, it gets a little harder and you have to jog. Now you're actually training, but setting the speed of the treadmill too high to start won't be beneficial and may result in injury or propelling you off the treadmill altogether. As you train for your 5K, you can see how speeding up your walking pace and pushing yourself to jog, getting outside of your comfort zone, can help you develop the fitness, stamina, and mental fortitude to run your race. But there are a number of benefits to moving outside of your comfort zone and challenging yourself to grow beyond just crossing the finish line. Not everything you want to achieve in life will be easy. By moving beyond your comfort zone into the growth zone, you'll be able to do that. Grow. You'll find yourself becoming more productive, achieving more, and reaching the goals you set for yourself if you're willing to put in the work. Accomplishment brings self-confidence, especially if you worked hard, challenged yourself, and saw it through. And the boost in self-confidence you get after achieving one goal can push you to achieve more. Stepping out of your comfort zone means learning new things, meeting new people, seeing new places, and trying new experiences. All of these can serve you to expand your awareness of the world and how you fit into it. It also may introduce you to new interests or areas of study you want to explore. Challenging yourself to move outside of your comfort zone can increase your resilience as well. You'll gain more confidence in how you handle failure or setbacks and become more comfortable with increased levels of stress, anxiety, and uncertainty. Finally, by stepping outside of your comfort zone often, you'll learn more about yourself and gain more control over how you want your life to look
and what you want to do with it. If it was easy to leave your comfort zone, there probably wouldn't be so much talk about it. But it's not easy to do. Moving into that learning or growth zone requires some stress. We've already talked about that, and will likely require facing some anxiety, some uncertainty, and yes, a little bit of fear. Yet as humans, we're wired for survival and naturally shy away from those perceived threats as much as we can. This is one of the reasons why it's so hard to step outside of our comfort zones. Individuals who don't want to do it must be mentally prepared. They must also be prepared to change habits and mindsets that may be keeping them in the comfort zone. How do you know if you need to step out of your comfort zone and push yourself towards something new? If you're not growing or learning new things, you're not taking chances in your life. You're not fulfilling your goals and dreams. If you find yourself wondering why you're not accomplishing things you want to accomplish, like maybe making new friends, getting better grades, then it's time to look at areas where you might be a little too comfortable and passive. But it's also not healthy to push yourself too far all the time. Being in a constant state of high stress can take its toll. Humans need to return to the safety of their comfort zone ever so often. Just like you wouldn't train on the treadmill all day, but may just put in an hour or two, you should step outside of your comfort zone for only certain lengths of time. Sometimes we're forced out of our comfort zone by our situations and have to adapt in the moment. But if you want to actively move yourself out of your comfort zone, here's how to get started. First of all, set a goal. Decide what you want to achieve and set the goal. Make it a SMART goal. You know, specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound. For example, don't just set a goal of wanting to run a 5K. Set a goal that you want to run a 5K on a specific date, achieve a time of 30 minutes or less, and run or jog the whole race, not walk. And then make a plan. Once you have your specific goal, now you can make a plan to achieve it. If a 5K is on a certain date, you know how long you have to train. If you want to be able to run or jog the whole way, you need to increase your ability and stamina to get to that point before the race. Make a plan for how you'll get to your goal, which will include steps that move you out of your comfort zone. Then take action. Start working towards your goal, following the plan that you've created. As you do, you'll likely encounter the following. As you begin the work, you'll be able to find where your comfort zone line is and when you're pushing past it. Maybe you thought running at a certain speed would be challenging, yet you find that it's actually pretty easy. So you increase your speed to have it be a little bit more of a challenge. Look for these shifts in your comfort zone boundary. As you move outside of your comfort zone, you may need to face some of your fears as your stress increases. If you're someone that lets discomfort derail them from action, you may need to get used to that discomfort in order to grow. If you tend to have some limiting beliefs about yourself, you may need to reassess those beliefs as you push forward. Realize that you may not always be successful in your efforts. Everyone has a bad day or two when trying to accomplish something, so don't let it derail you from achieving your goal. But if you're constantly feeling like the tasks are too hard, you may have gone past your growth zone into panic zone. Reassess your plan to see how you can simplify the tasks. Now that you've achieved your goal, assess how it felt to move outside of your comfort zone. You may realize it actually wasn't as bad as you thought, and you want to do it again. You probably already know the areas in your life where you need to step more outside of your comfort zone. But here are some suggestions on activities you can tackle to help you grow. Take a class, like one in a subject area you know nothing about, but you've always wanted to learn. Try taking a summer class at Harvard Summer School. Go to a social event and meet new people, especially if doing so is challenging to you. Travel somewhere you've never been before, even if it's just across town. Have a difficult conversation you might be putting off. Learn a new hobby or skill. Volunteer with an organization in a role that takes you outside of your comfort zone. We're there. It's race day. You've made your plan for the 5K, committed to training, got outside of your comfort zone, and achieved your goal of running the race in under 30 minutes. Think about not just the achievement, but about the ways in which you grew as a person by pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone during the process. Knowing more about this zone, what it means to step outside of it, can help you face new goals, projects, and adventures head on. And knowing that a little added stress can actually help you grow, expand your world, and increase your self-confidence will help you become more adaptable and open to change as well. Why do we believe ourselves when we think we can't do something? Who told us that? Who put that idea in our minds? And why don't we want to challenge it? What happens if we do challenge it? Michael Hyatt asks and answers, "Are your beliefs keeping you stuck?" Found on Full Focus. Michael said, several years ago, we had an English setter named Nelson. He was gentle and patient. He let our grandchildren pull his tail and climb all over him. He only had one real fault. Whenever the door would open, he would bolt like a convict, drunk with his newfound freedom. It would often take 20 minutes or more to retrieve him. On more than one occasion, he narrowly escaped being hit by an oncoming car. Unfortunately, we didn't have a fenced-in yard. There was no real way to restrain him, at least in the conventional sense. Just as we were about to decide to find him a new home, we discovered the invisible fence. This was the breakthrough we needed. Our local invisible fence dealer installed an underground wire that ran the perimeter of our yard. He then put a computerized collar on Nelson. It delivered a warning tone and, if needed, a very gentle but effective static correction whenever the dog approached the barrier. With the dealer's guidance, we used positive reinforcement to train Nelson. He quickly learned where the boundary was and avoided it. He no longer ran when we opened the door. In fact, we could let him out in the yard without any fear he would run away. Several months later, we discovered we no longer needed to put the collar on Nelson. Even if we stood on the other side of the barrier and called, he wouldn't come. If the kids tried to entice him with a treat, he wouldn't budge. The barrier had moved from the external world of an electric device to the internal world of Nelson's head. As I was thinking about this, I wondered, how many of my own beliefs are like this? In other words, they only exist in my mind, but I treat them as though they were out there, part of the real world. I immediately thought of three kinds of limiting beliefs. Beliefs about myself. I've often been stuck in my life, not because I didn't have the money, time, or contacts to make progress, but because of some deep-seated assumption. For example, early in my career, I thought I was too young to succeed. I sabotage myself in subtle ways. Now I routinely meet people who think they're too old to succeed. But what is the truth? The truth is that age has very little to do with our success. It's often a story we use, whether we're young or old, to stay stuck. Here are some examples of limiting beliefs we might have had about ourselves. I'm just not technologically inclined. I can't help it. I'm just big-boned. I've never been very good with money. I guess I'm just not that creative. I'm a quitter. I never finish what I start. Beliefs about others. It's not just the beliefs we have about ourselves that keep us stuck. Sometimes it's beliefs that we have about others. I once worked for a man whom I thought was arrogant. Though he was brilliant, He kept his office door shut most of the time. When we did venture out, he barely spoke to anyone. If he passed you in the hallway, he would just look away. As I got to know him, I discovered that he wasn't arrogant at all. He just suffered from low self-esteem, and as a result, he was extremely shy. As I got to know him, he warmed up and became a mentor. The truth about him was exactly the opposite of what I was initially thinking. My limiting belief almost cost me an important relationship. So here are examples of limiting beliefs we may have about others. There's no use asking. He's too busy to meet with me. He's just a bean counter. What does he know? Someone like her would never go out with a guy like me. She's too introverted to be a good leader. He hasn't responded. I guess he's upset with me. And then there's beliefs about the world. Sometimes the beliefs that keep us stuck are global. I saw this recently when I was talking to one of my friends in the book publishing industry. I asked him how it was going. It's tough, he admitted. With the economic turndown, stores are continuing to close and book sales are down. I don't doubt things are tough for him, but I do question whether the economy is as bad as he thinks. He may be suffering from selection bias. Because I speak for organizations in a variety of industries, I see different perspectives on the economy. For some, the economy is booming. For others, we're still in the Great Recession. Here are examples of limiting beliefs we might have about the world. You know how women are. They're so emotional. Everyone knows politicians will say anything to get elected. I don't trust management. They're always trying to screw us. Rich people don't care about anyone but themselves. You can't be successful without compromising your integrity. Beliefs are not the culprit. They can be a good thing when they're rooted in reality. But we have to learn to distinguish between reality and excuses. For example, I used to think of myself as an introvert. It was the reason I didn't mingle with people at parties or even introduce myself to audience members before I spoke in public. But it suddenly dawned on me one day that this was a limiting belief. It was keeping me from having the impact I really wanted. It wasn't the way things were. It was an excuse that was keeping me from growing. So I changed my belief. I decided that introversion was more of a preference rather than something innate. I could choose which behavior to exhibit, introversion or extroversion, based on what I wanted to achieve. If you find yourself stuck in some area, ask yourself, what beliefs do I have about this and what are limiting my ability to move forward? Is this really true? Is there something else I need to believe that is more rooted in reality? So are you ready to start pushing back? Here are five powerful ways to challenge those limiting beliefs. Number one, talk back to that voice in your head. You know the one, that inner critic that says, "You're not good at this," or "Who do you think you are?" Call it out. Literally question it like a nosy neighbor. Says who? Is that actually true or just something I picked up along the way? When you start treating those beliefs like suggestions instead of facts, you regain control over the narrative. Number two, look for evidence and the holes. Take your limiting belief and pretend you're a lawyer trying to prove or disprove it. Like maybe the belief is, "I'm not creative." Where's the evidence? Have you ever solved a problem in a new way? Cooked without a recipe? Decorated a space? Boom, creative. Most limiting beliefs fall apart under even the gentlest cross-examination. Number three, reframe the story. Instead of saying, I always mess this up, try, I'm still learning, and each attempt gets me closer. Reframing isn't lying to yourself. It's choosing a perspective that empowers you instead of paralyzes you. Think of it like adjusting the lens on your camera. Same scene, better focus. Number four, take micro actions that prove it wrong. One of the fastest ways to challenge a belief is to act in spite of it. If you believe, I'm not confident speaking up, try asking a question in a meeting. Tiny actions stack up, and each time you do the thing you thought you couldn't, that belief loses its power. Number five, borrow someone else's belief. When your self-belief is shaky, lean on someone who sees you clearly. A coach, a friend, a mentor, someone who's rooting for you. Ask them, what do you see in me that I might be missing? Sometimes we need to borrow confidence until we can build our own. Limiting beliefs are just old stories, and luckily, you're the author. You can revise the narrative anytime. If you want to share Encouragementology with a friend who needs to know they're not alone in this journey of self-discovery, you can visit encouragementology.com or anywhere you stream your content to receive this episode and all others. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram for additional encouragement throughout the week. So I challenge you. Identify one area in your life where fear or complacency